Thank you for tuning in to the WEEM Weekly Podcast, a bi-weekly podcast produced by 91.7 WEEM to share with you all about what is going on around our school and community. You can find past, present, and future episodes of this podcast at 917WEEM.org or wherever podcasts can be found.
Welcome to episode 13 of WEEM Weekly. I am your host, Sam Duffer, and I'm joined by
Brooklyn Schuyler.
And this is the Inner Thoughts. This is something new we're trying out with the new build of WEEM Weekly. And we have three segments, one for clubs, one for the campus, and one for businesses and communities. So stay tuned for that. First up, we have Gracie with Bring Change to Mind on WEEM Weekly.
Welcome back to another segment of WEEM Weekly. I am Gracie Wolf, and I am here with the president of Bring Change to Mind, Anna Liedler. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Of course, thank you for coming. So first things first, what is the purpose of Bring Change to Mind?
So the sole purpose of Bring Change to Mind is to break down and release the stigma and discrimination of mental health, because mental health is a thing that can kind of be looked down on just because of a bunch of reasons I feel like you can think of. And it's, mental health isn't always a bad thing. Like, there's good mental health and there's bad mental health. Everybody has some sort of bad mental health, and it's just an amazing thing to be able to talk about it with really anyone that you want to, and just to be able to explain how you're feeling inside your mind.
So you say that mental health is important. So why is it important?
I feel like mental health is incredibly important because as you're growing up and you're getting to talk to different people, and like, you're getting jobs and you have just so many different kinds of people in your life, to be able to be emotionally aware can just, that releases on everything, how you act as a person. Like, someone who's not so sure in like how they feel, or aren't sure how to comprehend what they're feeling necessarily, compared to someone who does and knows how or has maybe worked on it, they're just polar opposites. And it's so important to be able to know how to understand what you're feeling.
Very true. Very true. So why should people join this club?
People should join this club because it's is an incredibly safe place. There are not many people in this club, so when you go in there, you don't feel like you're talking to an audience, like of a big group of people necessarily. And maybe someone doesn't want that parental side of like, what's my mom gonna say? Or she's just gonna like, just give me like the mom side of what you're going through. Or maybe you don't have the friends that you feel comfortable confiding in, and you just want to go to a space where other people are experiencing the same things, or maybe not the same things, but could understand what you're going through. So it's a really good place for that.
Nice. So what upcoming events or activities are planned for Bring Change to Mind?
So we actually have a big summit event coming up for Bring Change to Mind. It's a collab with the USA Swimming and the Indianapolis Colts. It's going to be really like sports psych focused. So you're going to be able to talk to different athletes like pacers, Colts, swimmers, about how their mental health affects their performance, because that is like ginormous when it comes to, mental health is huge when it comes to your physical. Because if you're not thinking great, you're not going to perform great. So everything in your mind connects to everything that you put out. And you were going to be able to learn and speak with like the top dogs about how they deal with that and things that they've been through with that. So that's going to be really cool.
Compared to this event, what are some past events that bring change to mind? What have they done?
Okay, so I am just a sophomore, and this is my first year doing this, and I've only been a part of the club for a few months now, but so I've only done one past event, and it was the McCoy Youth Day at the State House. Me and a few of other group members went, And we got to walk around to these different booths at the State House and learn about how the community, not even just in Indianapolis, but like stretched out all over Indiana, about different ways that they have advertised mental health and that it's important, whether it's like from foster care to things going on in schools that shouldn't be going on in schools, or like student violence or gun violence or anything related to that, and how mental health is connected with all of those and how they go about basically advertising it so more people can just be aware overall.
What is the structure of the club? You said that you are the president. So are there any more leadership positions?
Okay, so Mr. Hunkler obviously is the overall leader, you could say, of the club. But since most of the people in the group are seniors, so they're leaving. So he kind of put me as the president, like you said, and Mary Canaday under me. And I don't even want to say under me, like she's right next to me. We're both in the same. She just has other conflicts that don't allow her to be as present as I can be. But yeah, it's honestly really student led. Like we say president, we say leadership, but like it's everybody just talking about everything.
Very nice. So how often does Bring Change to Mind meet?
We meet every Thursday from right after school till 3:30 in Mr. Hunkler's room. I think it's room 114.
What does a Bring Change to Mind meeting look like?
Okay. A Bring Change to Mind meeting looks like it looks different, honestly, every single time. Since I've just recently joined, I've probably like 5 to 7. I've been to 5 to 7 meetings, and we usually just touch base on events that might be coming up or things that we would like to do for the club. Or sometimes we tell funny stories. We just talk about literally just mental health, and anything anyone wants to talk about can be talked about. It's not really structured, which is kind of nice because it's just whatever the students are wanting to talk about and whatever you want to, just your feelings in general can be talked about.
So you said you joined recently. How did you hear about the club?
I originally heard about this club at my freshman orientation. I have always had an interest in mental health, and so they kind of breezed over what they called it, BC2M. And I was kind of just like, what is that? So I looked it up and I was like, oh, it's like a mental health organization. And at the time I was a cheerleader, so I had a lot of practices going on. I couldn't really add anything to my schedule, so I didn't ask about it until this year. So I reached out to Mr. Hunkler and just got all the information and just attended a meeting.
Very nice. So what are some of the challenges that Bring Change to Mind faces?
So Bring Change to Mind and all clubs actually are under certain rules that you can't advertise within the school. So that's been an obstacle that we've had to go around. But honestly, there are so many different ways other than just putting a poster up or holding something at the school that you can advertise for your clubs. Like we've talked about doing like Friday Night Light bracelets, like green for mental health, and just like donating all the proceeds would go towards a mental health organization or something like that. So it's definitely a struggle, and it's been a big struggle for the club in the past. But I really feel like this year and next year we'll be able to really open up the opportunities for the group outside of just advertising inside the school.
What are some of the aspects of the club you're most proud of?
I am most proud of getting a lot of my friends involved with it after I found out about it. I love to see maybe people who have struggled in the past. I love to see them be able to open up and talk about what they're feeling and just have that space to talk about whatever they want to talk about. And I love that it's blossomed into not just me, but me being able to talk about and hear these things with people that I love to spend my time with. And we also created a new Instagram account for it and been posting on that a little bit. So I'm proud of that too.
What is your Instagram account?
It's Arabians BC to M.
Very nice. So if somebody wanted to join Bring Change to Mind, how can they do that?
So there are posters up around the school of like the school club QR codes. You can scan that. You can do it how I did it, which is just email Mr. Hunkler. But on Thursdays, the door is always open and you can literally just walk in.
Awesome. So my last question is, what is the significant impact that Bring Change to Mind brings to the community?
I feel like this organization impacts everyone in a different way because everyone struggles with a different type of mental health, whether it's depression, anxiety, anything along those lines, or maybe it is those things, but it's just way more mild and not as harsh. And we definitely don't want to steer away from the fact that those are like ginormous things and definitely are super, I mean, you know what I mean? Like they are just big and we don't want to make it seem like they're not big, but we also want to make it seem okay for you to talk about the little-ish things. Like if you're just struggling one day for no reason or just anything that you're feeling is okay to feel and to talk about. So it can really, whatever you're struggling with is how it's going to impact you if you let it. It's a big thing to be able to let yourself talk about your emotions because, I mean, it's all about you. You decide what you want to talk about. You decide if you want to try and move forward and help yourself in a way. So if you let it impact you in a good way, I feel like it definitely can if you open up your mind to what the club is. It can definitely be a helpful resource to anyone who's willing to let it be.
Well, thank you so much, Anna, for being here and discussing Bring Change to Mind with me. This is the end of this WEEM weekly segment. Thank you so much again, Anna. Thank you.
That was Gracie Wolf with Bring Change to Mind. And Brooklyn, Bring Change to Mind, it's all about bringing mental health and such to the forefront and actually making people talk about it because most people kind of, you know, push it aside. It's like a taboo thing almost.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that they do that because mental health is a big thing, especially in a high school. So it's nice that they bring mental health to the forefront. I'm saying mental health a lot. It's nice that they bring it to the forefront and just talk about it and like make it acceptable to talk about.
And I think it's especially important when it's students talking about it. Because, of course, counselors, they're going to be the ones that are like, oh, this is a big thing. We need to talk about it. But not all people feel comfortable talking to a counselor. And seeing students talk about mental health and seeing students come up with these ideas and know about these issues is like a lot more, I guess, important.
Important, inspiring, I guess kind of inspiring. It instills confidence because these are your peers doing it, your friends. It makes it more open for you to do it and acceptable almost. And, you know, that's a really nice thing. So Bring Change to Mind. It's a great club. Now, after our short break, Talon sat down with Mr. Taylor to discuss being a counselor on WEEM Weekly.
Now here is a short promotion before our next interview.
91.7 WEEM is a student-run radio station. We provide everything from programming to music to live sports broadcasts and podcasts. But we can't do it without your support. Everything you donate goes to the station that the students operate here on 91.7 WEEM. Donate today at 917WEEM.org. Again, that is 917WEEM.org.
Welcome back. This is the second segment of WEEM Weekly. I'm Tom Gillespie, and I'm joined by
Mike Taylor.
So starting off simple, can you kind of introduce yourself? What do you do here?
Sure. My name is Mike Taylor, and I am the director of counseling for Pendleton Heights High School. I also represent the district-wide counseling program.
Okay. So what kind of made you want to be a counselor?
That's kind of a twofold question. So for me, at least, so some of my upbringing and background, just some of the family stuff that was going on, been through counseling myself. And so it kind of got intrigued. And then the second half of that story is I went to college to play baseball, really didn't have a major at that point in time. So my advisor put me in business and psychology and No offense to our business department, but the first class put me to sleep. And I was like, that's probably not a good match for me.
Yeah.
Went into counseling. I went into psychology, really got interested. And then ended up liking it, got my bachelor's in psychology, then went on to get my master's in community health counseling as well as school counseling.
Okay. So what is like a normal day as a counselor kind of look like for you?
Yeah. So here, so backtrack, I was a community health counselor for 5-6 years. Working with really students who – or not students, but clients who were going through a variety of issues, kind of got burned out on that, went back, got my school license. And what I like about the school setting is it's never the same.
Right.
Every day is different. So I could see a bunch of kids who are maybe dealing with emotional or family struggles or whatever, mm-hmm. or it could be all scheduling issues, you know, or it could just be kids just wanting to talk about every day. So it's kind of nice. Like I said, it definitely gives me a variety. So when you say, what's a typical day? Typical day is just kind of showing up and seeing what hand I'm played.
Just kind of like winging
it? And winging it, yeah, because you don't know what's going to come across.
So why do you feel that it's important that if a student is having a problem that they come and talk to you about it?
Because, you know, we're in a school setting, right? So mm-hmm. it's always education comes first.
Right.
And if a student is struggling with maybe family issues or just personal issues, that education is going to take a back seat for that student at that point in time. The quicker that we can do an intervention with that student and speak with that student, we're not going to fix all the problems, right? But at least get them some coping skills, some coping mechanisms to hopefully that then they can get back into the process of school and as best they can. So that's why I think it's very important that students take a look at what's going on, you know, in their everyday lives. And if something is going on that's affecting their education, let's talk about it. Let's see if we can't get you back out there.
Okay. So kind of more on a personal question, what's kind of like been like your biggest impact that you've seen that you've had personally on a student who's come to talk to you?
It really depends upon what realm. I've had students, some students get scholarships because of maybe a letter of recommendation we've written. I think for me, because I come from the mental health side of it, I'm not thinking of one student in particular, but I think those students who maybe I've seen at the beginning of the year that are really struggling with some personal issues, you know, they have some demons in the closet, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. And then to work with that student and then see that student as we go along come out of that and just have a whole new outlook on life and a whole new outlook on school and just family relationships for more of a positive outcome. For me, that's what gets me fired up. I mean, I love seeing that when kids grow through that and they go through those dark times and they can see that they can make it through. That's what keeps me going. I mean, that's my MO.
So you guys kind of act as like a guide to like that light at the end of the tunnel.
Correct. Because sometimes, you know, my philosophy is you have to take the student where they're at that point in time, not where I want them to be.
Right.
Okay. And so I want to walk with that student if they're going through a dark time and not push them, guide them, like you said, you know, and to a spot to where it's going to be more comfortable for them. And maybe we can make some growth at that point in time as well.
Okay. So what's kind of a misconception that some people have about counselors?
Yeah. So I'm going to speak from the school counselor realm. I think the misconception of school counselors is that all we do is scheduling. We've been fighting that battle just on a national level that, you know, we used to be called guidance counselors. And we have changed that mantra probably 15, 20 years ago to school counseling because it's so much more than guiding a person into their career or guiding a person into different classes, right? So it has taken on a whole new realm when you're talking school counseling because there are lots of school counselors out there that do more emotional, so like more from a mental health standpoint,
right,
when they're working with students, more than just scheduling.
Okay, so what has kind of been like one of your biggest like challenges when like being a counselor?
Personal one.
Personal?
So about 4 or 5 years ago, 2019, I believe it was, we had 3 students commit suicide within a 6-month time frame. And one of those students just happened to be my youngest son's best friend. They live right next door to us, right behind us. I accompanied the grandfather to the hospital. And so that was a struggle because when we have a student commit suicide, you're constantly questioning yourself, what didn't I see? As a counselor, you're questioning yourself, what didn't I see? I mean, he's my son's best friend. Why didn't I see that? What's going on? And from that standpoint, that right there has probably been my biggest struggle that I've had at Pendleton. But it's also been the biggest catalyst that we had to really push towards more mental health services for our students at Pendleton.
Right. So you kind of take it as like almost like a personal
Absolutely.
Type of thing when that happens. Okay.
Absolutely.
So on the flip side, let's go to a little bit more of a positive note mm-hmm. here. What's your favorite part about being a counselor?
Yeah, the students, hands down. Even when I was in mental health, I worked with teens because I love the energy that teens bring. Okay. I love the conversations you have with teens because they're not tainted, right? They're not like me. Like I'm kind of set in my ways in some things. But teens, you guys just bring tremendous energy. You bring tremendous insight. And it gets me excited to come into work knowing that, hey, who am I going to talk with today and what we're going to talk about? So right. that's my biggest positives.
Okay. All right. Well, that is all the time I have for this segment. Okay. Thank you for joining me. And now here is Brooklyn and Sam on WEEM Weekly.
That was Town Gillespie with Mr. Taylor talking about what being a counselor is like. And, you know, Brooklyn, talking to your counselor is really important because we kind of mentioned it earlier with Bring Change to Mind. You can talk about mental health, problems you're having, and even something they definitely help with is getting your buckets filled for graduation and getting your classes sorted.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my counselor has helped a lot with my radio classes. I take a ton of them, and I've taken all of the junior classes my sophomore year, so I was kind of in like a pickle, I guess, with my classes. So he's been super helpful, and I think it's really nice having someone to go to with those things because you don't know.
And sometimes they throw in a little bit of a surprise, a curveball that you don't see coming. Like I signed up for 3 radio periods at the beginning of the year because they wouldn't give me 4. So, you know, I had 3 first semester. Well, coming into second semester, they changed my study hall automatically to a new radio period. So I had 4 regular radio periods and was able to add another study hall, which is really nice. They gave me 5 radio periods off the bat for this semester, making it really easy.
I really hope that I get to have 5 radio periods.
5 radio periods is really helpful. I mean, it's chilling here. It's really cool. We have a lot of fun. And it's just, you get to be in a nice place with snacks and such all day. It's really nice. Now, here is Caitlin Cowens sitting down with the vice president of Community Hospital Anderson on WEEM Weekly.
Now, here is a short promotion before our next interview. Bring our music and Arabian sports everywhere you go by downloading our new app on your phone. It's called 91.7 WEEM. Whether you are on a run, in your car, or at work, you can listen to us live. Go to the App Store today and download our app on your Android or iPhone for free. Listen today here on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome to another segment of WEEM Weekly. This is segment 3, and this is my first ever segment. And for my first ever segment, we are going to be discussing our number one underwriter, Community Hospital Anderson. So I'm Caitlin Callen, and I'm here with...
I am Tom Bannon from Community Hospital Anderson.
So, Mr. Bannon, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure, I'm a Pendleton Heights grad, 40 years ago, can't believe it at this point, class of 1984. Both of my sons graduated from Pendleton Heights, also a few years ago, James Bannon and Sam Bannon. Sam worked here on WEEM. I was on WEEM also when I was at Pendleton Heights High School. And currently, I am the vice president of community engagement and the chief foundation officer for Community Hospital Anderson. Mm-hmm. So that role, the community engagement part, is marketing and communications reports up through me and our guest services, and then our public health initiatives mm-hmm. report through me. I'm a doctor of public health, so that works well with me there. And then we have our own foundation at the hospital that has about $15 million in assets, and I oversee that as well.
Wow. Okay. So how long have you been working at Community Hospital Anderson?
9 years. So wow. I obviously grew up in the community since I went to Pendleton Heights. I I left shortly after I finished my undergrad and moved out west and worked in minor league baseball for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wanted to come back to the area. And I did so when Hoosier Park was being built, and got hired on there and was one of the first employees there. Was vice president of operations and communications there for a number of years. And then prior to going to community hospital, I was at the Anderson-Madison County Visitors Bureau and was the executive director there. So I've been at community for 9 years, as I said, but I've been in the community and working in the business world and active in the community for many, many years.
Wow. Okay. So how exactly did you become vice president? Like, what did you do to get here where you are now?
Sure. So, you know, a lot of it is experience, of course, and education. My undergrad is from Indiana State University and is in radio, television, and film, actually. But about halfway through college, I started wanting to go a little bit of a different direction and thought I probably wouldn't be in radio and television, but I wanted to do business and public relations. But I knew radio and television degree would really help with that, and that training would really help with that. So that helped a lot. And then just started working, you know, up through the ranks. And, you know, at Hoosier Park, none of us were vice presidents to begin with. There was just the general manager and then directors. And then eventually a president was named, and then three people became vice presidents. And mm-hmm. I was one of those. And a lot of it was just because of my background and experience and what I had done as I went through. I just prior to that had gotten my MBA, my master's in business administration from Anderson University. So that helped with that too. So a lot of it is the job experiences, but also mm-hmm. the education that I've gotten. So I think both go hand in hand with that.
Yeah. So how did you find Community Hospital Anderson? Like, did you know that you always wanted to work there, or like you just found it one day?
It wasn't something where I always wanted to work there.
Mm-hmm.
I knew about it from being in the community, and it has a great reputation of being a great place to work. Very, very involved in the community. And I knew a lot of the people there. I knew the leadership there. But I wasn't intending to go there necessarily. I really liked what I was doing at the Visitors Bureau. It was a great job. It was a fun job. It was kind of a marketing job and a PR job. I looked at it as we were the marketing firm for Madison County, essentially. And I loved the job. And the role I'm in now at Community Hospital opened up. I knew it was opening up, but I still didn't intend to apply for it or anything. But they reached out to me and encouraged me to apply for it and recruited me somewhat for it. And so as I spoke with them, I became more intrigued and interested in the idea, and am very glad that I went there. It's a great place. It's, you know, if you want to work in a position that you can impact a lot of people, impact them daily from the health aspect of it, you know, people being in the hospital or needing health care. But then also all that the hospital does in the community to support things. For instance, today we were talking about, you know, how we're going to support, you know, the Fourth Over the Falls that we are always the supporter for, Pendleton, Christmas in Pendleton, and the different things like that. So, you know, we're the largest employer in the county also.
Yeah.
So it just is a way to really have a good positive impact on a daily basis.
Yeah, sure. So what does your work day usually look like? Like, do you see any of the patients or workers at all, or are you just always in an office, or?
Well, I don't necessarily see patients from a healthcare provider. So,
So
as I mentioned, I'm a doctor of public health, and so that's like having a PhD in public health. So I'm not a physician.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times that I will go and see a patient. A lot of times it's a case of someone that I know or someone from the community, and they're in, and it's been mentioned to me that they're in, and, you know, they could use a visitor, you know, somebody along those lines. So I'll go and see them. I see our staff a lot. I'm one of the senior leaders of the hospital, so I see the staff a lot. I'm not I'm in my office a lot, but I'm also out of my office a lot. And I'm also out of the hospital a lot for meetings and different boards that I'm on, different committees that I'm on. So it's a fun job. It's a job that's not boring. You know, it's not a case where I'm always stuck at a computer. I'm able to use my imagination. I think using your imagination is hugely important in life.
For sure.
And especially, you know, just we use it in our daily lives, but especially if you can find a job where you can use it in at work too. And so I feel like I can use my imagination a lot. I always talk about the three I's that's kind of guided me, and that's imagination, inspiration, and impact. And it usually comes in that order. You use your imagination, and then that inspires you. And then that leads to the impact that you have.
Yeah.
And I always encourage people to use the phrase, wouldn't it be cool if, and you fill in that blank. And sometimes it's just a simple thing is you're around your house and you think, wouldn't it be cool if we could do this with the kitchen or, you know, whatnot. And maybe you end up doing it or maybe you don't. Sometimes it's a case of, wouldn't it be cool if we could do this for the community? And then you're able to do that. So I think that's important. And that's something I'm able to do on a daily basis.
Yeah. So considering you've been working at Community Hospital Anderson and you guys have been underwriting for WEEM for over 6 years, and you've personally graduated from Pendleton Heights High School.
Yeah.
Have you seen any growth from the station?
Gosh, it is unbelievable.
Yeah.
The difference between. So when I graduated in 1984, and quite frankly, it was a good station then, you know, I remember we had the latest state-of-the-art equipment, and then when I went to Indiana State University, you know, some of us that came from Pendleton Heights and were working at like WISU and stuff, we're like, gosh, Pendleton had WEEM had the better equipment than, you know, WISU right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, it wasn't 24 hours a day at that point, you know, it signed off at like 6. So then, and I don't know how it is now with you guys, you would get a shift in the morning, the preschool shift or the after school shift as a DJ.
Okay.
And you got 1 month. So like my month was, I was the after school shift in February.
Wow.
And that was just your show then afterwards. But then when you signed off, the station was signing off. And so it's just really has advanced. And, you know, of course, we didn't even know what podcasts were back then.
Yeah.
So it's really been a tremendous asset. I hear a lot of people who have never been to Pendleton Heights High School as a student or as a parent of a student say to me, hey, we heard your underwriting on the radio station, because they just like the station, or they'll listen to it for the sporting events. You know, so often now you can't hear high school sports on radio stations, but you can always find it here on WEEM. So it's just been a tremendous growth for the radio station, and seeing the type of quality that comes from the radio station is also important that we want to be associated with too. So it's been a really good marriage for us in partnership.
That's awesome. That's so crazy to think of how it was back then. Because usually today, it's just like so much more simpler for us. Like we like a certain class period, we have these certain kids go live. So kind of similar. And then like, of course, after school, then, you know, we just go home. But we do this thing called VT, voice tracking, where we pre-record like our afternoon show and morning show and just a bunch of segments in between. Yeah. So that's just crazy to see how it was back then.
Yeah. So we would, as I mentioned, so you'd sign on the air before school and you'd have your shift. And then throughout the day, it was a whole bunch of pre-recorded like national programs. It was boring stuff. I don't know why anybody would have listened during the day.
Yeah.
So it's just real boring, kind of pre-recorded, almost like half hour long PSAs.
Mm-hmm.
And then after school, we would have our shift again and then sign off. So except for on the weekends, we would go a little longer on the weekends.
Yeah, that's crazy. So my final question for you, what exactly is the history behind Community Hospital Anderson? How did it start? How did it get to where it is today? Do you know that personally?
Yeah, so we just had our 60th anniversary about 2 years ago. So, you know, COVID has caused everything to kind of forget time-wise.
Yeah.
And especially at the hospital, that was such an important thing going on there. So I think it was a couple of years ago. It could have been 4 years ago at this point because of, you know, everything's kind of gotten lost in my mind. But we just a little over 60 years. We became the second hospital in town, and the community felt like there needed to be another hospital, like a second opportunity. So they literally raised money door to door. There was a lot of work campaigns, raised money to build community hospital.
Wow.
And it has evolved from there. You know, we have a lot of we have a big campus out in North Anderson. We have a doctor's office here in Pendleton. Mm-hmm. We're about to build a new medical office building in Pendleton out by the interstate. We'll break ground for that probably in late May, early June. Mm-hmm. So that will be coming nearby too. So it's just been an area that was built by the community and has continued to grow over the last 60 years. We have a lot of services where the key for us is we talk about we want you to be able to get care near home and not have to feel like you have to go to Indianapolis or not to Chicago or a bigger city.
Yeah.
We do a lot of brain surgeries at Community Hospital in Anderson. We have one of the top brain surgeons in the state.
Wow.
At Anderson. And we have people that come in from other states here to Madison County for that kind of service. So a lot of people wouldn't expect that kind of service here locally. So that's just kind of how it has evolved. And then, of course, wanting to be involved in the community and, you know, like in Pendleton and here at WEEM has helped with that evolution as well.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, unfortunately, our time is up for today, but thank you so much for coming in, Ms. Shabannon. Yeah. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thanks.
Now back to Brooklyn and Sam.
That was Caitlin Cowan with the Vice President of Community Hospital Anderson, Mr. Bannon. And, you know, Brooklyn, Community Hospital Anderson is the biggest underwriter here at Pendleton Heights, not just Pendleton Heights, actually, of WEEM. And without them, we wouldn't be able to do so much of what we do. And I don't think they were our first underwriter, but they're like one of the first. And we even write imaging for them.
Wow. Sam, I have a question for you.
Yes.
So since you're a senior here, I know a lot's changed since your freshman year here. Was Community Hospital Anderson a underwriter then?
They have been an underwriter since I joined Advanced, as far as I know. Actually, I think they've been going longer. 7 years or so, they've been an underwriter. So way longer than I've been here. That was, I want to say, sixth grade for me. A long time ago, Brooklyn.
I'm not even doing the math for how long it's been.
Yeah. You were in, like, what, fourth grade or something?
Probably.
Yeah. And he actually went to high school here, Mr. Bannon. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And he also, he did radio here.
What?
Which is really nice. It was nice to hear all the changes the station has had from then to now, because it is so different. I mean, then the radio wasn't even running all day.
Whoa.
Like, they had, like, sponsors and stuff instead playing throughout the day, and, like, ads and just infomercial stuff. They didn't have music playing all day like we do.
That's so weird, because when I think radio, I always think of music, but
yeah,
I guess not.
Yeah, they didn't have what we have now, where it's constantly playing music. So that was really nice to hear just the history of WEEM.
Yeah, and I think it's super weird because I know as like an advanced student now, this is my first year in advanced, and there hasn't been a lot of changes, or there hasn't been a lot of things that are like, I guess, going to change throughout my career here, but it's been such a long time. There's been so many big changes that, you know, it's kind of cool to learn about them when you've got already developed, like, systems and equipments and all the things.
Yeah, although we are always changing equipment. Like, I'm sure you guys have noticed our ring lights that is just shining down light upon us. We look so bright and glowy now. And I'm sure you guys must love to see our beautiful faces that much easier.
Yes.
And that will do it for episode 13 of WEEM Weekly. But in 2 weeks, episode 14 comes out, so stay tuned for that. I'm Sam Duffer, and this is my co-host,
Brooklyn Schuyler.
And this is WEEM Weekly.
Thank you for listening to the WEEM Weekly podcast. Join us next time at 91.7 WEEM.org or wherever podcasts can be found.